Precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Animal genetics researchers pouring it on. Anti-carcinogenic milk shrimp that resist disease are in the works, they say. Imagine being able to buy not just whole and low-fat milk at the supermarket, but also a special heart-healthy variety with anti-carcinogenic characteristics. Imagine shrimp resistant to diseases that can devastate aquaculture pens. Well, I don't eat shrimp. No siree. Or pigs that produce human-compatible organs for transplant. Well, according to the Bible, that's an unclean thing, and so is the shrimp. This is unclean. This is not, God didn't design this for human consumption. They're the garbage cans of the animal kingdom, folks. You want to eat that garbage? You'll suffer the consequences. I'm here warning you about it, but they're trying to use all kinds of things to make it easier for you to benefit from these unclean animals. I'm going to tell you now, it's going to backfire. Those were among work in progress discussed this week or during the time of this article at the Transgenic Animal Research Conference sponsored by the University of California, Davis. James Murray and his group at the university are working on the heart-healthy milk in research involving goats. But Murray says the science could easily be transferred to cows. Well, what's the difference? I mean, by the time they heat up that milk and pasteurize the thing, they kill all the vitamins and all the goodies in it anyhow. That's why they got to add vitamin D to the milk. Whole thing's ridiculous. Anyway, They say the two genes have been added to the milk. One cuts saturated fatty acids while increasing healthful fats and seems to have anti-carcinogenic and anti-inflammatory qualities. The second gives milk antimicrobial properties that inhibit growth of spoilage organisms and might, they say might now, decrease intestinal infections in milk drinkers. Because it also might cause you all kinds of other problems and cause you to be resistant to other things that enter your body that you need to fight off. If we could get this milk in goats in North Africa, where millions of children suffer from gastrointestinal infections, it would really make a difference, Murray says. At the University of Hawaii, researcher Fernanda Calderon has been inserting genes into shrimp to make them resistant to a virus that has devastated shrimp farmers in Mexico, Texas, and South Carolina. Viruses in aquaculture also can spread to the wild populations and upset the ocean ecosystem. Well, I'll tell you one thing. They just need to leave the ecosystem alone. They need to leave all this stuff that God created and just let it do its own work. When man gets into the process and messes it up, what do you have but utter chaos? That's all you have. Now they're talking about pig organs that are compatible with humans, and they're getting closer to making that a reality. Now, if you want to have a pig, a part of a pig inside you, only 25% of those waiting for an organ, according to this report, organ donation, receive one in time. So the demand for alternatives is high. Scientists believe there are at least six or possibly more genes that must be altered to make pig organs compatible with humans. Researchers reported success in overcoming the first and some believe possibly the most formidable hurdle. This is the acute rejection risk created by a marker called GAL, on the surface of pig cells. Well, it's obviously if there is a rejection risk created, that it's God's way of telling these scientists to leave it alone and don't mess around with it. No, but they don't. They'll ignore these things. They'll ignore these signs, these elements that God's placed in His own creation to not mess around with mixing things up. And that's what they're doing. It says, because humans don't have this marker, the antibodies immediately recognize cells that carry it as foreign and get what it says here, reject them. See, God doesn't want us to be having pig parts in our body. That's why He put these antibodies in there to recognize that there's a pig in your body and He rejects it. Scientists have been able to inactivate the gene that produces this marker. Oh, brother, I'll tell you, we're in a mess. And just along the other side of the column that this report that I've just read to you is another report. HWO says antibiotics in feed unnecessary. Antibiotics in feed unnecessary, they say. Farm animals that are not fed growth-promoting antibiotics suffer no serious health problems and carry dramatically fewer drug-resistant bacteria, the World Health Organization reported. So you see, that you don't think they care about that, do they? Just don't mess around with God's creation. Don't mess around with the things that we have. Just let it be the way God ordained it to be. It even shows right there that by them messing around with stuff like that, by putting all those antibiotics in the animals, the chickens, the cows, not only is it causing havoc among the youth because they're eating all this and their hormones are creating all kinds of problems, and they're growing up, maturing a lot faster than they're supposed to. I'm talking about body-wise. This is all a result of all this stuff. Then who knows what else they're doing in there, steroids, whatever. But now they're saying, that it's not necessary to put antibiotics, in the feed. Well, it's just like in the days when women were giving birth, some years, 40, 50 years ago, and they came up with all this crazy way of trying to bring children into this world as far as the position of the woman and all of that, and all the breathing techniques and all this garbage they came up with. When they realized now they need to let the woman give birth as naturally as possible, and follow the Bible principles. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on that we just follow the principles of Scripture, we'd be a whole lot better. Remember the days when they wouldn't even clean their hands when they're operating on somebody? Well, they surely didn't get that from the Jews. The Jews have always known that you got to wash your hands. It's not just a ceremonial thing, people. It has to do with God's way of preventing disease, preventing infection, and all kinds of things like that. The law of Moses, Mosaic law, isn't that just there for ceremonial purposes? I realize we're not under the law in the sense that we're not under the penalty of the law and all that associated with Christ nailing it to the cross. I realize that. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for instruction, righteousness, correction, all that good stuff. Okay, we're going to change the wheels a little bit here and talk about sudden death. And truly, when I read about happenings like this, it does kind of, it's sad. It's just simple as that, just very sad. But things like this happen every day, and many of these things happen and they go unreported, but it just shows the brevity of life. Here, a hospital elevator decapitates a surgeon. A physician in Houston was decapitated when an elevator at Cristo St. Joseph Hospital malfunctioned, authorities said. They said that Hiroshi Nekadoth's shoulders were pinned when the doors closed and his head was severed when the elevator moved up. An employee trapped in the elevator for about 20 minutes was treated for shock. Elevators and escalators kill about 30 people and injure about 17,100 each year in the United States, according to federal statistics. How something like that can happen is hard to understand. But I'm sure that surgeon was making good money. I'm pretty sure he had a family that he loved, and hopefully a family that loved him. And I'm sure that he probably had a bright career ahead of him. But one day, a tragedy of this kind, I mean, very unusual. I mean, this is so unusual. Sudden death. And then, just a couple days later, I discovered another tragedy. Electric wire kills three at concrete plant. A crane operator was electrocuted, and two co-workers died trying to save him after the crane struck an overhead power line at a concrete plant. As electricity coursed through the rig, one of the rescuers began administering CPR. But the second worker touched the steel electrified crane, sending a deadly jolt through all three men. I do not know where this happened, but both of these was reported in the USA Today. Well, let me just talk a little bit about sudden death and sudden fear. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:25, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." And for those that are not saved, I say to you that without Christ, there is sudden fear. And without Christ, there is sudden death. Of course, death is when you least expect it. But those that have their hope in God and their trust in the Savior need not to worry or to fear of death. For dying for them is simply a departure from this life to the very next. And yet people, they live their life as if they're going to live forever on this planet. And they build themselves riches and all kinds of things they've laid up for themselves and do not realize that they have no guarantee they're going to breathe for another day. Yes, exactly. You might be of the thinking that you're not even worried about your destiny. You're not even considering whether or not there is a heaven or a hell. In fact, you got everything planned, don't you? You think everything's hunky-dory. And you think that everything is going to work your way. And you don't even worry about anything like I'm talking about. But down deep in your soul, when death starts knocking on your door, there will be sudden fear and there will be sudden death for you. According to Luke chapter 12, the Bible says about this certain rich man. He said, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" I guess that's a problem for a lot of rich people these days. And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." He sure had a lot of plans, didn't he? "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So you, like many, have this attitude, well, you know, I'm just going to live it up and I'm going to get rich quickly and going to win the lottery and I got plans. Boy, do I have plans. But the Bible says, Psalms 39 verse 6, "Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Psalms 52:7, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness." The prophet Job said in verse 27, verse 8, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul?" Jeremiah 17:11, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." And so, this is what happens to those who think that they can attain a happy life through riches. Could it be that this sergeant or these fellows who got electrocuted, and I hope to God it's not so for these men. I hope they knew the Lord, but perhaps they were like most today who have stored up their treasures on this earth. It'd be far better to store up your treasures up in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And people have this attitude that they are survivors. In other words, everything depends upon their ability. Yet God says in Acts 17:28, for in him, referring to God now, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We wouldn't live one day without God's mercy. We wouldn't be able to breathe one breath. Our heart would not beat one beat without the grace of Almighty God. Yet we take our life for granted, don't we? James 4:13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. While we're on this subject of death, and death is something that has been appointed for everybody. Everybody's going to die one way or another. And in fact, the Bible talks about that we're all appointed unto death. And then comes the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. So we realize that truly we cannot know from one day to the next whether we're going to live the very next day. But those who know Christ have this confidence in him and are able to say, like Paul the Apostle, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul has absolute assurance where he was going to spend eternity. He knew he was going to spend eternity with the Savior. Do you know that? Do you have confidence in that? Do you have assurance that you're saved and on your way to heaven? If you're not, you could die in the next moment. You could die before this radio broadcast is over. Get into a car accident. Anything could happen to you. Oh, I heard about all kinds of tragedies. Sudden fear, sudden death. But if you're safe in the Lord's arms, the everlasting arms, you need not to fear. There's nothing to fear, actually, because you're in his arms. And the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But as we talk about this death, you know that the Bible does say, I will bless them to bless thee, and I will curse them to curse thee. This is true. Did you realize that France, the very country who was against our going to war in Iraq to help deliver these poor people from a wicked, wicked government? And do you realize, too, that that country has been known to be one of the most anti-Semitic countries in all of Europe? And do you realize how liberal that country is? I'm saying to you that God still will hold countries, individuals accountable for what they do regarding the Jew. Here, a report out, and of course, by the time you hear this broadcast, it will already be history, but the French had a heat wave that has actually been responsible for the death of 10,000 French people. I surely don't relish the fact that they died, especially if they died without the Lord. I do not relish it at all. Leaders criticized for lack of action. In Brussels reported, more than 10,000 people, most elderly and living alone, may have died in France during this month's blistering heat wave. French health officials said the revised estimate would make it one of the worst such disasters in modern history. Of course, since that report came out, I read another 1,000 had died. The number of dead, about half in the Paris area, is far more than in other European countries that have suffered through the deadly heat. Countries to the south, such as Spain and Portugal, are more accustomed to the heat. Temperatures in Britain and Germany have not been as severe. Even so, officials were struggling to find reasons for the calamity. Among them, no air conditioning in many homes and hospitals, a population lacking experience with the need to stay hydrated in heat waves, and the slow response of a nation on a holiday. Well, how about considering the fact that God says, I will curse them that curses they? Don't you remember being against the well-being of the Jewish nation? President Chirac, who has been feeling the heat for a lack of government action, addressed the nation live on television and radio for the first time since the crisis began. He promised that everything will be done to remedy the inadequacies that we have seen in our health system. But Chirac tanned and rested after 3-week vacation in Canada that drew criticism from the press and political opponents, offered few details. It was unclear how he would juggle budget cuts and improve health services. Well, the best thing for them to do is simply get on the side of Israel, and everything would be A-okay. Now get a load of this. The estimated death toll has risen steadily in the past during this time, even as the mercury had dropped. On this time, the number of dead was estimated to be up to 3,000. 3 days later, the figure was put at 5,000. And then a few days later, the Minister for the Elderly, Herbert Falco, said most probably 10,000 people died from temperatures as high as 104. The number of heat-related fatalities is 10 times as large as the record 1,021 recorded in the whole of the United States of America and all of 1995. The figure also dwarfs the losses during the summer of Italy, where news reports estimated 2,000 died. Portugal, when estimated 1,316 died, and Spain, where at least 100 died. Huh, only 100 died in Spain. Isn't that interesting? Remember now, Spain was one of our supporters when we went to war. Oh, you're going to say that's just a coincidence. No, my friend, it is no coincidence. Interesting how France seems to be singled out for this dramatic rise in deaths because of this heat wave, whereas Britain, even Germany, and Spain and some other countries are less devastated. I believe it's in proportion to how much they were for or against the war, and in proportion on how they are for or against the nation of Israel or anti-Semitism. You're saying, well, Dr. Fried, aren't you being somewhat biased because you're an American? No, I'm not biased. I've given many examples where when the United States government or our own president seems to be trying to give the Palestinians an upper edge, that terrible disasters happen in my country. So we're not exempt. No country is exempt from that timeless truth. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curses they. Well, we're so thankful that you stayed with us this far. We don't want you to go away because we have some more great programming coming your way. So stay tuned. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad you stood with us for the last part of this broadcast. And we're going to continue now on the series, Why Does Israel Suffer? Last few broadcasts we've been talking about the divine warning of God as revealed in the blessings and cursings of Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Holy Scriptures, commonly known among the Jews as the Torah. Now, I'm going to look at the divine indictment against Israel. In Isaiah chapter 48, the Bible says that indeed they are guilty. The Israelites are guilty. Before we go to Isaiah 48, I want us to look at the whole chapter of Isaiah 1 because it gives us basically the relationship between God and Israel from God's perspective before we have the end of what is known today as the Old Testament era. And Isaiah chapter 1 gives us the condition, the spiritual condition of Israel. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation! A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. You say, this almost sounds like something that would be written in the Quran or one of those Jew-hating books. But actually, this is in the Bible. This is in the prophet Isaiah, a prophet of God. The word of God inspired through him. And this does not indicate that there is a hatred from God. What this is God's disapproval with the nation of Israel during this particular time in history. And of course, throughout history, they would be guilty of this as well. We're talking about the divine indictment against Israel. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should he be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts has left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the Lord of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt, of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. What caused God to have to come to this place? Because they were simply doing it ceremoniously, but their heart was not in it. In verse 12, the Bible says, when he come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain, and that's what it was, vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. We see today hundreds and hundreds of religious Jews praying at the Wailing Wall, supplicating and hoping that God will hear their prayers. But in actuality, God is saying to the nation of Israel, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. He said, your hands are full of blood. He said, in order to restore this relationship, the Bible says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes, from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Indeed, what a very strong indictment against the nation of Israel by God Almighty Himself. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thine wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companion of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away the dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. And by the way, that's not going to happen until Jehovah Tiskanu, the Messiah, will reign on the Davidic throne one day. Verse 27 of Isaiah chapter 1, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Yes, if you're a Jew, you need to be converted unto God. No, you don't have a ticket to heaven. Nobody has a ticket to heaven. We all need to be born again. We all need to get right with the Holy God. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Before I get to Isaiah chapter 48, continuing on the indictment of God upon His chosen nation Israel, I ask you one or two simple questions. If you look at the nation of Israel today spiritually, are they not as guilty as this indictment of God some 2,700 years ago? And I believe it is. I believe this indictment is just as valid today as it was 2,700 years ago. And until the nation of Israel wakes up and repents and calls upon Jehovah God and recognizes and acknowledges and receives the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, they will continue in this rebellious state. You ask me, how can God deal so strongly against His beloved nation? Well, because they had the covenants. They had the promises. They saw the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea. They seen the mighty hand, the outstretched arm of God. They are without excuse. But I can assure you, the application of this would be against the United States of America as well. Remember when we was considered a righteous nation, when God in trust was still something we were not ashamed of, when the Ten Commandments would have been proudly displayed in our courtrooms and courthouses and in Congress, and how God was still in our school system. And when we put God as the basis and foundation of our Constitution. But no, now we are guilty, just as guilty as the nation of Israel is. Would you say that He'll deal with us without some retribution? You know that he will. You know that he will. For the Bible talks about the nation that forsakes God shall be turned into hell. Isaiah chapter 48, hear ye this, O house of Jacob. Listen up, Israelites. Listen up, the nation of Israel. Listen up, Jewish person, wherever you are around the world. There is a divine indictment against you unless you repent. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is as an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee, before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from the time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Remember the title of these messages, Why Does Israel Suffer? And God says, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The furnace of affliction. I cannot but think about those terrible ovens. I cannot think about anything other than when 6 million Jews were gassed to death and thrown into these ovens. You say, God did that to his own people? I say to you that God withdrew his hand of protection on his beloved nation, and he did allow them to go through it. This cannot be denied. But God says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He said, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. My hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves, and hear, which among them has declared these things? The Lord has loved him. He will do his pleasure in Babylon, on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. You see, even though the Babylonians, no doubt, put them also through the furnace. Remember what they tried to do to Meshach and Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what they tried to do to them, putting them through the fiery furnace. Yet God, the Son of God, was with them and delivered them. And we no doubt they've been put through furnaces throughout history. But God says, even though he took his hands of protection off of them, those very nations who are guilty of actually killing the Jews, they themselves are going to get the wrath of God upon them. I, even I, have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Hey, that's one of those Old Testament verses on the triune Godhead, isn't it? Yes, hallelujah. He says, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Well, if that's not the triune Godhead, I don't know what. The Lord God, referring to the Father, and his Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, has sent me, referring to who? None else than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked.
Keep his covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.